at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. So after an 18-month break due to COVID, basketball's national leagues finally returned this weekend. I'm delighted to be joined by Irish international Hannah Thornton of DCU Mercy. How are you keeping, Hannah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Pretty excited, I imagine you are right now.
We're buzzing. Yeah, we're really excited. Sure, it's been, I think we're the longest sport that's been without it. Like, for 18 months, it's a pretty long time to go. So we're so excited.
Yeah, the indoor sports for a long time, it felt, were really forgotten about. We spent so much time talking about the three main sports around rugby, soccer and Gaelic games that all the other sports were sort of left. And it's feel as though the governing bodies and the government forgot about them as well. It must have been incredibly tough watching so many other sports return well over a year ago now, while basketball had to wait and wait and wait.
Yeah, I mean, as a sports person, it's great to watch other sports, but all we wanted was to play our own. I think it was because our season finished like last year, March or February, March of last year. So then it was due to start again this time last. It was just so, nobody knew what was going. We were kind of training, not really knowing. And I was lucky because as part of the Irish team squad, we were able to actually play this summer. But apart from that, like some of the girls on the DCU team, especially at the minute, hadn't picked up a ball before preseason. It was well over a year until they had picked up a ball. So a very long time. Yeah.
Basketball is such a part of your lives. You put such a commitment towards it to have that taken away with nothing to do. And also with the confusion and the lack of planning that was there, it must have had a real impact on an awful lot of the players, just not knowing when you'd be back.
It did. And I think when you play at such a high level as we do, it's like 50 to 70% of your life. And like we all have friends on the team, like we're all friends. So it's a big part of your life that's just gone. And I suppose it's like every other like sports person, we weren't quite sure what to do without it. So you kind of have to do your at-home workouts. And as a club, we were really, really good because we train usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we either did our own sprints by ourselves or we had a Zoom workout. We tried to keep to a schedule as much as possible because we also had two Americans that flew in because every team you're allowed to play, like you're allowed to have two professionals. So we had two Americans that had flown in and were prepared to play and never got to play a proper game. So it was tough for them as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And were you able to train outdoors over the last year, 18 months?
We were able to train outdoors. Yeah, we were. Now, as a club, we never trained outdoors. We didn't have a session on an outdoor court, but we were able to then train individually outdoors. And then, like, I think if you could meet up with somebody and run in a distance far away. But I think as a team, we did pretty well with keeping ourselves accountable just because we knew that if we didn't do anything, like, to come back would be so hard. And a lot of the girls on the DCU team play Gaelic football. So it was really good for them because they were able to train. So they came back to preseason like fully fit. So that was a really, really good help for them. But we never did an outdoor session on the court. No, I don't think my knees could take running on an outdoor court right. Falling down.
You mentioned you're involved with Ireland and involved in the European Small Countries Championship during the summer. When you're going back into those first Ireland sessions, say 6 months ago, and you haven't had proper competitive training sessions like you've probably been so used to throughout your career, what were the fitness levels on that first session back like?
So the team itself, the Irish team was classified as elite in the end of January, February this year. So that meant that individually you were allowed to go into a basketball court. So DCU allowed myself to go in an hour a day and shoot. So we had some small bit of preparation before we met together as a squad, but we actually weren't that bad. Our strength conditioning coach was fairly surprised with how good we were. Like he had given us programs to do. And going into an Irish training camp, you don't want to be like the last person on a sprint. We're a fairly competitive group as it is. So I think we all took onus on our own to make sure that we were fit. We were in a good shape going in. And they they didn't push us too hard in the first one. We knew that it was just about getting the ball back in our hands, and kind of basketball's all about making quick decisions. So that took a while, I think, to get back and making the a good pass, knowing on what to do. Whereas other sports might be just pure, you need your fitness back. Basketball is a lot about getting your hands on the ball and kind of figuring out your players again and trying to remember all the plays. But I do remember that night, it was a Sunday, we had gone to training and I was so excited. I think I couldn't sleep. I woke up on the Monday at 4 a.m. and I was just buzzing to be back playing. Yeah, it was such a thrill.
And it went well. Ireland got all the way to the final, level at halftime in the final against Luxembourg, and eventually lose by 10 points. But Ireland are now back in the top tier, going to be competing in the qualifiers for the 2023 Eurobasket finals. It seems as though the calibre of the game and the quality of the game in Ireland, despite the long break, it's in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to kind of explain it a little bit better, during the summer is when we usually play our international games. So we don't really play throughout the year. So it's usually European Championships in the summer. And that's when you'll train for maybe a month or two prior, and then you'll play, and then you won't meet again until the next summer. So what the Eurobasket means is that we're now going to be competing throughout the year. So we'll compete in November now, and then we don't compete again. I think it's until November of the next year. But it's really exciting because internationally, we haven't competed in the Eurobasket, I believe, since 2009. So it's a massive step up for the women's program. It's a really, really big step in the right direction. And especially with the younger people coming through, and our team has changed over the last couple of years, that we have an influx of young people on this national team. It's just great to see for them that there is opportunities that aren't just in the summer, that it's all year round. And that's what you want to play for. You want to be in the Eurobasket and you want to be competing at the highest level, which is what we will be doing in November.
And have you spoken about goals then for the next couple of years with the Eurobasket and what the attainable goals are?
Well, we actually haven't met as a squad yet since the Euros in July. But I know we all probably have the main goal is winning as many games as you can, because you're in a pool. So our pool is Holland, Belarus and the Czech Republic. So it's kind of who comes out of that will go into the main Eurobasket championship. So the main goal would be to win as many games, if not all of them, if possible. So I know that's a very politically correct answer, but
taking each game as it comes is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Each game as it comes.
Yeah. So with the National League back this weekend and basketball sort of been out of sight, out of mind for quite a while, is there an apprehension about getting back out onto the court and what the interest levels are going to be like among fan bases as spectators are slowly but surely being allowed back into matches and building towards the National Cups at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, we love to play in front of crowds, and I'm not 100% sure about crowds this weekend. I don't really know what's happening. I don't think DCU were allowed them, but we all want to get back to where we were and the arena, the cup final, where it's absolutely packed and you have thousands of people there. That's what we want as players. We want to play in front of that crowd, but we'll take an empty crowd. We'll take an empty hall just to be playing the game again. There's excitement, I think, primarily over just getting back and playing against teams again. And the teams are a little bit different this year because you would have had a drop off of some people over the past year and a half, and younger players are definitely coming through. So it's kind of, it's excitement because you don't really know what teams are like. Usually you've just played them a couple of months prior and you kind of know who was the top two, top three. Whereas now you're kind of it's nearly an even playing field. We're not really quite sure how people are going to be. So that's kind of exciting.
And that drop-off, Hannah, was that among older players who just decided during COVID, there's so much uncertainty, I can't be hanging around forever, I'm done with this?
just as you said. No, I think there's a few, Sarah Woods on our team for DCU had a baby, so she's taken this year off.
And it's a reasonable excuse.
I think so, yeah. However, we still expected her to come back. There was a few players that probably, they would have made last year, maybe their last year. And now they're kind of saying, they may play National League, which is kind of the league underneath Super League. And the commitment may not be as high. So that's kind of, or Division One, they might play a different league. So that's probably where they're going.
Just a quick word on the day job. You're a nutrition and performance consultant with Next Generation Health. And for professional athletes suddenly having, and competitive athletes suddenly having all this time off where you're not in your routine of regular training sessions, it must have been a shock to the system, probably for yourself and for an awful lot of the people you deal with, that they're not getting that outlet to expend energy and having to change their nutrition probably quite substantially during COVID.
Yeah, I think every athlete had to definitely change what they were eating. Like, with regards to, I think the main thing that I'm seeing, because I've worked with athletes that have come back over the past couple of months prior, is not drinking enough water. And they're like, I'm cramping up like crazy, or I'm getting headaches. And I'm like, the first thing that everybody got out of the habit was drinking their water regularly every single day. Like, you just get into habits of it as you do. But when you're at home or you're not training, it's usually the first thing that goes. So that was trying to get people back into the habit of drinking enough water and getting electrolytes up. And then as athletes, like, you have to eat enough carbohydrates to fuel your energy stores, so to fuel your trainings every single day. But when you don't have the same amount of training, you don't need those energy stores fueled. So it is a huge shift, but now it's making sure that people are going back there now. So it was quite hard to get out of it, but it's even harder to get back into it and making sure that their energy is meeting the expenditure, because out of nowhere, like, preseason began again. So you need to make sure that you're eating enough for energy, but then also you're eating so that you're trying to prevent injuries, which would be what we don't want to see over the next few weeks with players coming back.
So that balance of making sure you're drinking enough water, not drinking enough water, what are the tips for people who are sitting around from home, who are probably working from home now, not in the office and not walking over to the water cooler and filling themselves up, to get themselves into that routine?
The easiest thing that I've told people to do is just to set a timer on their phone, like, for, I think it's like 10 minutes to the hour. And if your glass is full, go refill it. Or if it's not, you have to finish that drink and then go refill it. Because you do miss that kind of, exactly as you said, walking to the water fountain. And that's their bit of, like, getting up and kind of moving every hour. So if you can set a little timer for yourself to make sure that you're drinking enough and to get up and to, even if it's just to the kitchen, which is 3 feet away, it's still getting up off your desk, taking a little break and then coming back.
All right. A nice little tip to finish with, Hannah. Great to talk to you. Very best of luck this weekend. DCU Mercy up against WIT Waterford Wildcats, 12:15 in the DCU Arena. And very best of luck with the international side as well over the next year.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So up next, we're going to be talking to a member of the OTB team, a member of the OTB team who has bottled it and has opted not to take part in our duathlon this weekend. Who could it be?
Off the Ball on News Talk.